coming up on KUCB News, the coronavirus pandemic causes uncertainty in the salmon market, and PCR's summer solstice run looked a little different than years past. Stay tuned.
Programming on KUCB is made possible by Redfish Electronics, now providing new, used, and refurbished computers, tablets, iPods, MP3s, phones, phone accessories, and flat screens. We also carry external hard drives for your digital storage needs. Redfish Electronics is located in the airport parking lot next to Northport Rentals. Redfish Electronics can be reached at 359-2205.
Good afternoon. You're listening to KUCB 89.7 FM on Alaska. I'm Maggie Nelson with some local news on Wednesday, June 24th. Alaska has wrapped up its second week of new COVID-19 testing and quarantine rules for travelers from out of state. Tessa Walker-Linderman with the State Health Department says in week two, about 12,000 passengers went through the new health screenings at 8 airports. Here's how she describes the process.
There's greeters that meet each flight. Then they go through a screening process where they have their travel declaration form, and the screeners are identifying what option people are choosing, if they're going to quarantine, if they've tested before coming to Alaska, or if they plan to test here.
During week two, the least popular option was quarantining for 2 weeks after arriving in Alaska. About 2,000 passengers chose to do that. But most travelers opted to bypass the two-week quarantine. About 4,000 people brought a negative test result with them to the airport. And almost 5,000 opted to get swabbed for the virus once they landed here. Those people must quarantine until they get their test result. In the first week of the new process, some travelers said they had to wait at least a week for those results. That means they had to quarantine themselves for longer than they expected. Walker-Linderman says turnaround times are faster now.
We really are seeing turnaround time really within that 72-hour window now. We've been able to troubleshoot. We meet regularly with all the airports, are working through issues trying to speed up this process.
13 people who were swabbed at the airport got a positive test result. Walker-Linderman says the state will keep working with its contractors at airports to smooth the screenings. They expect the number of travelers to continue to rise this summer as word of the new policy spreads and as other states continue to reopen. The city of Unalaska still requires that any person traveling by vessel or airplane into Unalaska self-quarantine for 14 days upon arriving and monitor for symptoms of illness. Chinese state media claimed last week that coronavirus was found on chopping boards used for imported salmon. Those rumors halted European salmon imports to China. While that could affect the market for Alaska salmon, experts say this season, coronavirus is creating much bigger problems. KDLG's Sage Smiley took a look at how the pandemic is affecting the salmon market and has this report.
Let's hope this is one hell of an anomaly.
That's Gunnar Knapp, Professor Emeritus of Economics at the University of Alaska Anchorage. The market for salmon this year is in flux. Knapp says that's due to functional hurdles.
If you sort of want to categorize the bad news, the biggest factors are the sheer operating logistics for this industry in dealing with this virus and keeping the workers safe. That's one huge complexity. And the second is the drastic drop-off in restaurant consumption. And the third is the drastic decline in people's incomes. Those are the three major hits.
In a normal year, most of the uncertainty in the salmon market comes from the run itself, like how the harvest compares to the previous year and how processors will keep up.
Heck, every year brings surprises in salmon markets and salmon fisheries.
But with the COVID-19 pandemic this year, the market faces uncertainty on both the supply and demand sides. That means a lot of things are up in the air, making everything more difficult to predict. Researcher Brett Watson from UAA says one indicator can be found in the Commercial Fisheries Entry Commission, which lists permit prices.
CFEC is reporting about a $13,000 slip in Bristol Bay permit price sales. from April to May. And so what that says to me is that Fisher's short-run and long-run expectations have kind of decreased their value for what they're expecting to get out of the fishery.
That drop has brought permit prices back to where they were in early 2019, a change from the steady rise in prices over the past 3 years. The range of prices is also twice as large as it's been in years. Several Bristol Bay processors have reported cases of COVID-19 since processing workers started arriving in the bay. As the run picks up and the fleet starts catching fish, there are also questions about how those outbreaks will affect processing capability.
I saw that there was a report just a few minutes ago that there were another 12 positive confirmed cases in Dillingham. And that's going to pose real challenges to the processors as they try to figure out how to engage in their process safely. And that can impose real cost for them.
To summarize, on the supply side, the run is starting a little weak. Processors are taking on massive preventative costs to try and stave off plant outbreaks. Those costs might take the form of a lower base price for fishermen or higher retail price for consumers. We don't know much yet about fishing effort compared to last year or processing capacity, which adds another level of uncertainty. On the demand side, the industry is facing a global recession, reduced restaurant demand, lower household incomes, and lower farmed salmon prices, as well as that hiccup in the Chinese market for farmed salmon. That could be an indicator for the wild market. Does everything point to disaster? Gunnar Knapp, the UAA professor emeritus, isn't predicting anything.
There's a lot of not so great indications about the market going into the season. But in the longer run, there's sort of a good news story.
The long-term trend, Knapp says, is an increasing demand in the U.S. for salmon in general and wild salmon in particular.
The basic thing is, you're still this tremendously wonderful fish resource if it's well managed and well marketed and well handled and Mother Nature willing.
Despite all the uncertainties facing the market this season, Knapp says they're almost all tied to the pandemic. If Bristol Bay weathers the economic storm this year, he says, hopefully the market will continue to improve. In Dillingham, I'm Sage Smiley.
Alaska's tally of confirmed COVID-19 cases rose by 14 yesterday, bringing the statewide total to 792. There have been 64 hospitalizations since the pandemic hit Alaska in March and 12 deaths. As of yesterday afternoon, there have been 8 positive cases of coronavirus in Unalaska. 591 people have been tested at Aluluk Family and Health Services. Unalaska's Parks, Culture, and Recreation Center held its first ever virtual summer solstice run this year. Due to the COVID-19 pandemic, many of the PCR's events this spring and summer have been either canceled or drastically changed to adhere to local and statewide health mandates. The summer solstice run, which would normally happen in just a few hours, took place over the span of a week, and participants were asked to submit proof of time and participation virtually.
Ready?
Yep.
All right. Well, it's definitely a different experience not having a bunch of people lining up at the start line with you. And as far as a race, we'll see. I know it's a lot easier when you've got people in front of you kind of running after them, and people behind you, you're trying not to let them pass you. So you don't really have that. I'll just be running against the time on my watch. But we're all learning to kind of adapt the things that we do to all of these COVID restrictions.
That was Albert Burnham, recreation manager at Unalaska's PCR. This is his first chance to actually participate in the summer solstice run, as he is normally working the event along with other PCR staff members. While the race usually takes place in one day, participants this year were asked to complete the 2-mile course anytime between June 15th and 21st. The run began at Carl E. Moses Boat Harbor, and the course trailed alongside Bunker Hill, then back to the starting point. In place of the usual PCR staff handing out waters and snacks at the finish line and turnaround points, signs were posted to help runners navigate the course. And in order to be eligible to place and receive a medal, participants were asked to virtually submit tracking data and a map that verified their time and course. According to PCR Sports Recreation Coordinator Chris DeGero, 16 participants signed up for the race, and of those, 6 provided the proper documentation to be considered as award recipients. DeGero says this race has been particularly difficult. While the turnout wasn't terrible in comparison to earlier races this year or years past, he says the lack of interaction with community members due to COVID-19 restrictions made advertising particularly challenging.
It's always going to be a challenge to do a race like this virtually. And I think it's because, one, not many people tend to hear about it. One thing I really wish I was able to do was advertise this much further in advance. But the problem with doing that is we didn't know what was going to be happening. We didn't know if the city was going to have something to say about it. We didn't know what the COVID restrictions were going to be. And then I only had maybe like a few days to kind of advertise for a week-long thing.
Despite the difficulty of holding a race during a pandemic, DeGero looks forward to planning more sports events this summer, hoping that since Unalaska is opening up, there will be more time to get the word out to community members about upcoming programs. The fastest adult male time for the 2-mile race was 19 minutes and 48 seconds, while the fastest adult female time was 24 minutes and 42 seconds. The winner of the teen girl category ran the race in 21 minutes and 42 seconds, and the fastest youth girl time was 25 minutes and 42 seconds. The PCR's next race is the Ballyhoo Mountain Run, which is set to take place later in July. And that's the news from Unalaska. I'm Maggie Nelson, and you're listening to KUCB 89.7 FM. Find us online at kucb.org. And please stay tuned for your local and marine weather forecasts.